Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Well, I usually am, but no one else can hear them. See, that's the issue. Callum's, you're off by 10 degrees on the forecast.
So I was distracted.
We're watching the baseball game. That's why
I
was distracted.
Where to start.
We will let you redeem yourself with what is Chuck Kearney wearing. That is always our first segment in Three Big Things with Indiana University. And today's guest would be?
It's a sports shirt today. It's an easy day.
Oh, my goodness. He nailed that.
Yeah, I can tell.
That is nailed straight on. No jacket.
What? Phil Collins, no jacket required. Let me give you my fashion tip here that I have. So I've got the collared shirt, but I was a little warm. I unbuttoned the top button. Instant coolness.
Instant coolness. And instant relief from heat.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, he's always instant cool.
Well, there you have it. So there you go.
Dr. Chuck.
Now we got Dr. Chuck laughing. This will be a good segment already. It's always a good segment with him. Three big things at IU. We check in every Wednesday. The Indiana University dashboard is released. We heard Governor Eric Holcomb and his crew there at 2:30, taking us to 3:30. On how the state of Indiana is moving along. And Monroe County is no longer one of those magical orange counties where the rates are too high. And Indiana University, I'm hoping, was part of that. John Hamilton's the mayor. He joined us yesterday afternoon and was excited to hear the numbers today as well. Lay them on us, Dr. Chuck.
So they're good again. So third straight week, everything is down as far as the number of positive cases. We have continued to see that downward trend for IU as a whole. Our COVID positive rate for mitigation testing was 1.3% across all of our campuses. That was 1.9% the week before that. The positivity rate at Bloomington was even better in certain areas. So among Greek houses, it was 1.8%. That was 3.1% the week before that. Residence halls, 1.5%. That's down from 2.2%. Then Greek-affiliated students who don't live in organizational housing, that was a little up, but essentially the same, 5.3% as opposed to 4.9% the week before. And then off-campus students was 0.8% positivity, and that was 1.7% the week before. So we're trending in the right direction. Now, every time we talk about this in the last 3 weeks, we have said that it's said with a huge that we do not now celebrate and go, we're done because we're far from it. And we want to emphasize that point. Even as things are moving to the stage five process at the state, policies at IU Bloomington and all the IU campuses are the same. Of course, the Monroe County policies are still the same for gatherings and the city policies. So we're going to stick to our knitting because that's what's gotten us this far. Now into the sixth week of classes, we're trending in the right direction. We think that the thing we need to keep doing is what we've been doing to keep it going in the right direction.
And I know you're not a doctor of the medicine. You're the doctor of the education. And
yes.
I'll still throw this question to you. At what point do we stop testing, or is this a nonstop test forever because you can get it more than once? We're so new into this. The numbers drop, the numbers drop, the numbers drop. Naturally, our guard's going to drop. I know we don't want it to,
right.
But at some point, someone's going to say, we've been doing this forever. We get tested forever. The numbers are gone. Why? What are we doing?
Yeah, well, and Dr. Carroll, we did every Wednesday at noon, we do a webinar with Dr. Carroll that's aimed for students and parents. And he was asked a version of the same question. And really, he said, look, we're in this for the long haul. And that doesn't mean because our numbers are going down that this is going away. It could surge at any point. And he always points out that we were trending in the right way as a state in the earlier part of the year, around early June, and then it spiked in July. And we got back to a point where it was really troublesome. So the same thing could happen, of course, around any of our campuses. We still have to continue to do the testing. And in our case, we're going to simply ramp up the testing. So we have these labs that are being built on our campuses, two in Indianapolis, one in Bloomington. And so we expect to have those up and running here in the next few weeks. Once that happens, the expectation is that we'll be testing everybody 1 to 2 times a week, and that's faculty, staff, and students.
And that is for the foreseeable future until vaccines and everything else come up and get going. So that's great that Indiana University can handle that themselves. And that's going to, we'll talk about who's going to pay for that down the road, but it's more important to get people tested and out of the way now. What else do we have going on today, Kellums, that you want answers? You demand answers.
I demand answers. No, Chuck, we've got a trustees meeting coming up, right? Is there anything we should know about that?
This weekend. Well, not this weekend. Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday, so tomorrow and Friday, and you can watch those public sessions on broadcast.iu.edu. This is still being done virtually, probably will be throughout the end of the year into early next year. And so I encourage people to do that because you can, and that's a way that you can keep up with what's going on. One of the big items, of course, will be following up the announcement that President McRobbie put out last week, which was the unveiling of the recommendation out of the Jordan Namings Committee. So what was recommended is that the name of David Starr Jordan be removed from the biology building, the parking garage, and the Jordan River, with the street, Jordan Avenue, to still be determined because we'll need to work with the city on that part of it. And it really is, that was the recommendation of the Jordan Committee. And it really is because the beliefs espoused by David Starr Jordan, who was one of the people at the forefront of the eugenics movement, just simply are not in keeping with what IU's values are. And this has been something that's been a matter of discussion for many years. It comes up as a lot from students and others, alumni, who have asked that we remove the Jordan name. This was a decision that was made by President McRobbie at the behest of the Jordan Committee to do this. Now, one thing to clear up, we've heard a lot of discussion, especially on social, where everything, as you know, is deeply analyzed and regurgitated
no,
as such.
No.
A lot of people saying, well,
a lot of doctors on there, too.
Yeah, you couldn't help come up with a better name than Biology Building for the new Jordan Hall name.
Campus River.
Yeah, Campus River, Hot. East Parking Garage. Those are placeholder names. Those are not necessarily.
That's what I was going to get at because they were pretty lame.
Those
were so
great.
That,
you know why? You never have to change them again. That's why.
Yeah, but I was hoping we would have another naming committee.
Well, one of the questions someone asked me, Chuck, was how do you get your name on a building? Why do we even do that? Because what is the vetting process or whatever it is? But we know we have schools with names on them: the Maurer School of Law, the
Kelley School of Business,
Hamilton Luger Center, et cetera, et cetera. Are we just not going to name buildings anymore? Is that the easiest way to go about this, or is that something we'll just? Is that a river we'll jump across? A campus river we'll jump across when we get to it?
Yeah. Well, there is a university naming committee, and there is a that involves the trustees who have to approve any name change. And in fact, they'll take up the recommendation of President McRobbie during this meeting that's coming up this week. But it's considered an honorific. And that is, of course, one of the reasons why it was troublesome that people might be upset that the leader of the eugenics movement had his name adorned as an honorific on any part of our campus. So, I think that moving forward, we'll certainly have names on things. Herman Wells, in fact, was involved in the naming policy. And one of the things he insisted upon is that you couldn't name something after someone at IU. I forget how it reads, but the effect of it was you couldn't name something for him while he was alive, which is why the Wells Library was not named for him during his lifetime. It came after his death. But there's a whole process to it. And in the case of Herman B. Wells, it's an honorific. It's something that should be fitting for the campus, but also to celebrate the person. Now, the other point to make about this is we're not in any way erasing history. David Starr Jordan was the 7th president of IU. If you look at what he did during his tenure to make Indiana University a more modern university for its time, he did a lot of things that made it become what IU is today, at least getting it started in that time. That's not changed, and we aren't going to ignore that. He's still going to be in our history books. You're still going to find reference to him on our websites, but it is something that we did need to reckon with as an honorific.
Now, an honorific, the question that people have asked me, Why did we just figure? Did we just read a book about David Starr Jordan 3 days ago and figure all this out? You said it's been mentioned before, mm-hmm. but when Herman Wells was the president, this wasn't an issue. When John Ryan was the president, is this just a sign of the times? Is it Indiana trying to be better? What's the angle for now? Was it literally the students demanding it?
Well, it's something that, you know, it is, things change over time and beliefs change over time and the appropriateness of beliefs change over time. So while there might have been things that someone said during their lifetime that, you know, it may not have been appropriate then, for sure. Eugenics was never appropriate. And it's really not a real science in that sense. It is something that, when you start to have a name that's associated with it and really being one of the leaders of it, do you want to have that be something that is associated with your university, with your organization? I have always put it this way when people have asked me on the street about this. Well, let's say you're from, you know, I will mention my town where I grew up in Arkansas, Newport, Arkansas. And there was somebody who was noted for being completely biased against people from Newport, Arkansas, and said that anybody who comes from there is not worthy of stepping onto a college campus anywhere and is not worthy of, it just really doesn't belong with the other people around here. Well, I might be bothered if that person had a building named after him or her on the Bloomington campus, and I was walking through that door. Now, on a large, much larger scale, that's sort of what we're talking about here. Do we, whether or not we're erecting something saying his beliefs were this and that, and we celebrate it, you're effectively honoring the person and those beliefs potentially to some by having an honorific on the naming of the building. So it's not an insignificant matter, and that's what I think President McRobbie said in his statement.
Dr. Chuck Carney, the Director of Media Relations and the spokesperson for Indiana University, joins us every Wednesday afternoon just after 3:30. Three big things, and, well, a very big thing. Tell me about the NSF grant, which will fund the study of business influence on political systems. There's a lot of words in there I don't understand.
So the National Science Foundation, and this just came out today, has awarded nearly $500,000 to Sarah Bowerly Dansman, who's in the Hamilton Luger School of International Studies at IU, and William Kindriff Weinkoff, who's in the Department of Political Science. And they're investigating the political economy of business government conventions. And so what that means is, Sarah Bowerly Dansman says that the prevailing belief, due in part to the rising inequality and perceptions of widespread corruption, is that the global economy isn't a democratizing force, but a tool for the powerful to attain even more wealth. So pro-business institutions are blamed for issues ranging from financial instability to slow response to climate change. But what we know about the relationships between public officials and registered businesses is actually quite limited. So that's what the research is going to do. Look at these connections. So they'll collect data on links between politicians and businesses across 360 million corporations in all countries of the world. And that's really something that's not been done to this extent before, and maybe uncover some of those links that may influence policy in all areas of the world.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest this afternoon. Typing away nervously in the background is, which dog is that?
This is Violet, who is the 16-year-old dachshund, and she walks around nervously. When I start to speak loudly on broadcast, she tends to do that.
It sounds like my children. these things do happen. Chuck, if people want more information, there's an easy place to find it. It's where I look every morning. Where do they go?
News.iu.edu is where you can find all of these stories. You can find more about the president's decision after the Jordan Naming Committee's presentation. Again, I would note that tomorrow we'll have the trustees meeting. The public part of that is tomorrow afternoon. I think it starts at 12:30. And that's going to be live on broadcast.iu.edu. And then I think the Jordan naming part of this will actually be taken up on Friday in that part of the meeting. And so you can tune in for that All of that, and I should mention too, the dashboard is on our fall 2020 website, fall2020.iu.edu, so you can find out more about the latest results on COVID testing at IU.
We got to film the dog sometime. This would be funny because I pictured the dog wearing tap shoes and just putting out some.
Yeah, it's the hazards of hardwood floors, and she's over at the door.
See, I like the typing thing. I picture a press.
Yeah,
hat,
it sounds like a typewriter over here.
Yeah.
Well, I do have, you know, you can see, nobody at home can see or in the car can see, I have a typewriter behind me here, and an old manual typewriter.
And we're pretending the dachshund is cranking out some stories on it. So
I wish you would. It would be quite helpful to me.
We'll let you get ready for class, my friend. We appreciate the time on Wednesdays. Cardinals and Padres, 5 o'clock. No Clevinger for San Diego. Did not make the postseason roster.
Nope.
So that's a
Yeah,
a
I
boom.
Hate to see it as a lifelong Cardinals fan.
Yeah, I bet you do. Reds, first and third, nobody out. Kyle Farmer strikes out on a pitch over his head. First and third, one out. Here's Tucker Barnhart. Exciting times. It's playoff baseball. Not as exciting as three big things at IU with Chuck Carney. Will you come back next week and we'll talk more?
Sure thing.